I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Manchester United edition. I'm not even going to beat around the bush, man. I'm vexed. I'm very pissed off because I don't like having to repeat myself so many times over and over and over and over again. And obviously, I have no bearing on Man United's fortunes or whatever decisions Ten Hag makes. But when a guy that has no affiliation with United has, compared to the experts, has incredibly, incredibly limited football knowledge, you know, compared to, you know, actual managers like Ten Hag and Marco Silva and whatever else, right? If I can spot genuine deficiencies in what United are doing before they happen, before the game even starts kind of thing, what in the world is Ten Hag actually thinking at this point? Is his hand so tied that he essentially just is just throwing in a towel and is hoping for the best? Because that's what it looks like his team are doing. You know, we spoke before, you know, those of you that follow us, we've spoken before about how it seems deliberate that he's bypassing midfield and, you know, just trying to catch teams sleeping with second balls kind of thing. That would only make sense if you have somebody high up the pitch who can win the ball consistently, i.e. someone like Havertz. You know, and look, this is not an Arsenal pod, but you get the point I'm making. Someone who's going to win header, someone who's going to win second balls. You know, and if not, you know, someone like a Declan Rice, who can play as a number eight, when the ball's like bobbling around in midfield, someone's going to snap it up straight away. United don't have anybody like that. Nobody even close in their entire squad, you know. So the game style that he's playing, it makes no sense. Like it feels as if at this point he's setting up these players to fail. I'm so baffled at some of the decision making from what he's doing. And, you know, there's only so long you can actually just say, you know, certain players not good enough. Look, he's not playing Antony. He recognises Antony's dog shit, like just nowhere near it at all. Right, so that's fair enough on him, so he understands that. But with the players that you have, you're playing a style that doesn't complement them at all. It just doesn't. Fulham have a bunch of injuries themselves, a bunch of injuries and suspensions. Like Palina wasn't playing today. You know, they changed both centre-backs, they changed both central midfielders. And they looked so comfortable out there, yeah. They looked like the home team. And to make matters even worse, I don't think United actually started shooting until around the 30th minute or something like that. I think United were so bad and so ponderous on the ball that Fulham just kind of were just so relaxed. Fulham had no issues. And then when United did wake up, you know, Leonard made a couple good saves or whatever, but they were laboured. Everything was just laboured from United. The commentator said they looked a bit leggy. I don't agree with that. I don't think United did look leggy. Didn't have a midweek game. I don't think they did. I don't think they looked leggy. I just think they looked out of ideas. And Fulham looked like a team that actually have an objective and an identity of how they want to play. And sometimes identities are important in football. Sometimes I think they're a little bit overrated sometimes. But I think this is what United are crying out for. They genuinely are. I'm genuinely just so lost, you know, and it's sad because we're talking about on a day where, you know, Fawson, you know, from the academy, Omari Fawson has made his debut for United. I'm sure it still is the happy one, probably the happiest day of his life to date, which, you know, I'm happy for him, it's good for him, but it ended in a loss, and it's just, you know, you don't want to associate that with your debut, but at the same time, it's still a fantastic achievement. But you've done that, you've set the team out, including him, out to fail. Like, because he's a kid, I'm sure he had a blast out there. But when he gets a bit older, he's going to realise that was just... He sent him to the slaughter. Like, it was just... Everything, you know, I'm going to try my best to structure this pod, but it's not going to come out structured, I won't lie to you, because I'm just going to rant. You know, I'm just going to rant. And I'm feeling angry. I can't imagine how actual United fans feel. It's so baffling to me and so I'm just frustrated. It seems to be the same thing every week. Regardless of opposition, regardless of the level of position, whether you're playing a team in the FA Cup that's, you know, divisions below you or whatever, United week in, week out are losing the midfield battle. They're losing the midfield battle in the tunnel, to be fair, actually, because those players just come out, they don't seem up for it at all. Every single week, they're losing the midfield battle, and other teams in midfield seem to be playing in acres and acres of space. The amount of times today, Fulham would make one or two passes, no more than two passes, and they're at United's defence, gliding with the ball, whether it was Pereira, whether it was Iwobi, do you know what I mean? Whether it was Lukic or Reed. Every single one of, all five of their midfielders today all carried the ball at least 30 yards through United's midfield at one point in the game. That's embarrassing. That's absolutely embarrassing. That, like, it's just, it's a joke that United are playing this way. And you have a section of the fan base, I'm sure of it, I think, you know what, it's fine. You know, we won how many games on the bounce. Without Hoyland's goals, United probably would have lost God knows how many games on the bounce. Hoyland doesn't play today, isn't there to bail you up. I'm sure Hoyland scores today, 100%. Scores before even Fulham probably get there first, right? United are bailed out by it. And now you're faced with the ugly truth. You know, you cannot play these games. When you guys beat West Ham had like a 1.8 something XG, if I remember correctly. And I was just like, hold on a second. United won that game. Give me a second. I'm going to pull up the stats right now. United won that game 3-0 with a 0.83 goal difference. And United had a 1.84 goal difference. And United were at home. Like, these kind of things matter, because the one-off game, everyone has a one-off game, but it seems to be a recurring pattern. United seem to be getting away with one every week. Now, if you get away with one every week for long enough, maybe it's not luck at this point. But United, you can clearly see that it's all unraveling week on week. They're getting less and less lucky, kind of thing. So, and that luck ran out with the moment Hoyland got injured. So, and then the result of it, he's not bailing you out now. And then look, Fulham go there with no, apart from Rashford and Garnacho, obviously quick and the threats in behind. But look, Robinson is probably the quickest player. Was probably the quickest player on the pitch today. He's that quick, kind of thing. Their entire defence is all mobile. Big, strong guys that are mobile. Kind of. They weren't really worried about the threats in behind like that at all. So they could play their game, not having to worry about, oh, if we're running back towards our own goal, do we have the players that can catch these players up? They were fine. Fulham were fine. Look, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but United's problems begin and end in midfield, because if you have a good midfield, you can mitigate for having a shaky-ish defence, right? You can mitigate for that by controlling the game. Yeah, obviously you're going to have periods in the game where you suffer and the other team attacks you, kind of thing. But ultimately, you'll have way more of the ball, you have way more territory in the game where you won't be under that much pressure, where someone like a Lindelof, do you know what I mean? Or even any of the other defenders will be under pressure, kind of thing. It doesn't make sense that you put out your best midfield today and you have zero control. And poor Kobbie Mainoo was running around that midfield thinking, these men are all my olders, yeah? And I'm running around with the only one with sense. Every single time Casemiro got the ball, it was hoof, right? And again, I'm not blaming Casemiro per se, but I'm just saying it was hoof. Same thing with Onana, same thing with Bruno as well. Bruno, to me at this point, you know, no disrespect to him, but I don't think he's a disgrace. Like, I'm not even gonna like make jokes about how bad I think he's in. I don't think he's rubbish, and that's the end of it. Anytime I talk about Bruno now, it's gonna be relative to his actual performance on the day and not what I think of him overall as a player and as a captain, kind of thing. But today he was just pants. He was just rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. There was a clip that I saw today that I didn't notice at the time, but the ball's forward to him in midfield and he just hoofed it. For no reason, he just hoofed it, like trying to find Rashford, kind of thing. It didn't make any sense. Any half-decent midfielder takes a touch, assesses his options, kind of thing, in a split second, because that's what top midfielders do. They make these decisions quickly. But he panics because he's not good under pressure and he's not really a good dribbler, kind of thing. So, you know, and it was a theme throughout the entire game. Like, his hero ball got United the equaliser, fair enough, but you have no control of the game, so you do that. Okay, you're back in the game, kind of thing, and then bang, you're right under pressure again. And guess what? You concede another goal, and then you lose. So I'm just really just, you know, vexed. I am. Like, I thought I'd calm down by now, but I'm not. Like, it actually feels like, you know, and obviously I'm doing this because I enjoy it, but it generally does feel at some point sometimes like a waste of time, because the same shit I was saying in October is what I'm saying in February. Midfield. United found a way to get their front three when they were all fit, functioning and attacking. It seems to be going well at least. But that front three absolutely depends on a midfield that can supply the ball to them consistently, and it's not going to hang them out to dry. That front three is really good if you've got a midfield behind them that can consistently find them. Basically, if you have a midfield that's playing like they're playing today, that front three is useless. You could have literally Mbappe, Haaland, and Saka in that front three, right? And if them are not getting the ball, they're not a threat. They're just not a threat at all. United don't have an actual consistent, reliant way of passing the ball through the lines in the build-up where they can get the most dangerous players on the ball. Every time United had a chance there, it just felt laboured, apart from when Fulham actually retreated and said, okay, we'll have what we hold kind of thing. You know, then obviously you gain territory there, because obviously now the other teams actually sat off you rather than playing their original, you know, their plan A, if you like. You know, Eriksen came on, and on the ball, you know, he looked pretty good, you know, as he usually does. Off the ball, absolute car crash. Absolute disaster. And Fulham were happy to, every time they were going to 50-50 duels with him, they knew they were coming out on top every time. When they played the ball behind him, they didn't even, like, sometimes the players weren't even sprinting because they knew that he wouldn't get anywhere near them. I just don't, all of United's problems just seem to be from midfield. Whether it's with the ball, without the ball, it's just, there's no intensity when you don't have the ball. There's no intensity when you do have the ball. But then with the ball, there's hardly any invention. There's hardly any invention there. I'm just very, 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 very frustrated by it all, honestly. And I feel for United fans, you know. And I say that as someone that, you know, has enjoyed United, you know, fucking around. But no, seriously, it's embarrassing, man. It's like, United need to stand up for all. Like, figure some shit out. Yeah. So I suppose that's the first half of this pod. You guys have asked some questions, which I will answer. And some of them were actually just like complaints, which is fair enough. But the first question from Darth Pele is, how would you redo the subs Ten Hag made today? First of all, I'm bringing on Ahmad for whoever, straight away. I'm bringing on Ahmad for whoever. Ahmad's profile in a game like this makes sense. A calm head who is decisive, you know. So, yeah, absolutely comes on. I suppose McTominay and Eriksen coming on, obviously one of them was a forced substitution, I believe, for Casemiro, which is fair enough. But, yeah. Look, Antony coming on in the 99th minute, I think that's probably the best thing Ten Hag done today. That guy shouldn't be playing for United. He's dog shit. He's not the standard. Maybe for some sort of semblance of control, maybe bring on Amrabat. But again, the intensity of the game, maybe it passes him by as well. I don't know. United don't have a lot of options, but yeah. United's problem is Ten Hag and the way he's setting United up. It's very, very obvious. Darren Tedrick has asked, what was the intent behind United's setup today? Get the ball to one of your super quick forwards as quickly as possible and hope for the best. That was the intent. Was there an intent after that? None. I'm not even sure what United's defensive approach was today, because Fulham seems to be having all the fun in the world. Hadi Wobi had his shooty boots on in the first half. He walks away in the first half of a brace, easily. So I don't know. And he's probably one of the players in the world you want, you know, bearing down on your goal, despite him getting the win today, because he just hasn't put it together for his final product. And I love Iwobi, but his final product is just crap. And he was getting very good looks today. So, yeah. I'm not too sure. Yeah, I'm not too sure what else there is to say. But, yeah. There was some more, actually, a question about United's, you know, what United fans thought about Ten Hag in general. So I suppose we'll get into that. So yeah, we asked, how do you feel about Ten Hag? And J_Quintana 10 has said, it was always open heart surgery and it still is now. I absolutely agree with that. I do. United's project, I feel like at this point, is still very much in its infancy because of how far behind you are in terms of the, in terms of just the quality. Keeping it a buck, Maynard is great kind of thing, but United probably need an entire new midfield. You can't build around an 18-year-old. Like, he's great, but he's not Fabregas. If he was Fabregas, then yeah, I'd understand. But he's absolutely fantastic, but he's not Fabregas. So you can't build it. So United need a whole midfielder. Maynard shares minutes with another top midfielder. That's the way to go straight away. Then he said, aside from a solid 11 when healthy, we haven't got the facilities, bruv. Said we needed to give him time. Now no one wants to. Look, now nobody wants to give him time because he's setting your team up to fail, man. Like, I don't know what else to say, but he's generally setting your team up to fail, you know? SWO has said, honestly, he just thinks he's okay. He's nowhere near as terrible as the general consensus, but I no longer feel he's a title-winning coach. Well, I've got some news for you. I think he's probably a little bit worse than what people initially thought. But he's not a terrible coach, but he's doing a lot of backwards things for United right now. Being a title-winning coach, he's won titles in Ajax, so, you know, I'm not sure about that point there. But, yeah. But then, you know, a good point that he's made is that you can't really get rid of him because, obviously, you can't afford to. United won't get rid of Ten Hag. I don't think it makes sense for them to get rid of Ten Hag. Unless, genuinely, unless, like, for example, someone like Xabi Alonso was available now. But he's not going to be available to United, so it doesn't make sense for him to get rid of him. CJ, at CJ Bonifier 13, has said he wants to give Ten Hag another season. He doesn't think he has the respect of certain players, and those certain players will be sold in the summer. Look, whether United and Ten Hag decide on who they want to sell and who they want to bring in, kind of thing, United still actually need to be able to put out a solid squad regardless, and they all play in a similar manner. They're all on board, because again, I compare it to Fulham. Fulham had God knows how many injuries and suspensions today, and it still looked like a Marco Silva team. United can't be that bad where they need every single one of their first 11 players, or else their game plan goes to pieces. That's not how football is. It doesn't work like that. So yeah, someone just had a troll here. He goes 43-year season ticket holder, and he thinks he's better than Alex Ferguson. You should wash your mouth. Like, that's disgusting. And he needs to be on a lifetime contract. Yeah, that's definitely a troll. Dumb sports fan. Okay, I'm not calling him a dumb sport. This is actually his handle. He said, bold man makes me mild man. Okay, whatever that means. And then we have, you know, Call Me Tamilo, who's going to be back on the pod soon. He just reckons it's over for him. So that's not encouraging at all. And then we've got a bunch of memes. Yeah. So yeah, a little bit of a short one here. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit pressed for time. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this. It's been a therapy session for me. I'm vexed, and I have no dog in this fight. I just need you guys to be ready for next week against City, basically, and that's not looking positive right now. I can't even lie, it really isn't. I want to be positive for that, but so much work needs to be done, and City at this stage of the season, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, like, they can give you a really, really bad day because, you know, they could potentially go on a run. So we'll have to see how that goes. But look, Manchester derby next week. United actually relatively do well in those, like, in the bigger picture. But because of the injuries and because of just where United are at right now, it's very hard for me to see you guys getting anything from that game. I would love you guys to, genuinely, but it's just going to be hard. So hard. So yeah, I guess we'll leave it there. I've been Coach. Thank you guys for listening, and I guess we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Plantation sugar.